Hello, I'm Julianne Good, and this is Psych One-on-One. Welcome. We are here to make psychology more understandable for you, your friends, and family, to make your lives more entertaining and enjoyable and easier. And tonight, I'm sorry to say that this is going to be the last podcast of Psych One-on-One on WePlayRadio.com. Jeremy Hansen has decided to move on to bigger and better things, and we wish him the best, and we have loved working with him. He's just been the best to work with, so we are going to miss this whole endeavor. All of our hearts have been in this, and the site will be up until the end of July, and I'm hoping that you will continue with me. I am hoping to find another show to move my podcast to. So I would like you to move with me, but if you would like, please keep in touch with me by Facebook, by Julie-Ann Good, G-O-O-D-E. Please contact me. I would love to see where you're going and what you're doing and if we can travel this together. So tonight, my very special guest is Sat Khalsa, and he's calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. We have been friends for multiple years, so I really am very happy that he's joining me for this last podcast. Hi, Sat. How are you?
Hello, Julie. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. My apologies for the Skype boondoggle.
It's okay. I know. It would have been nice to see your face, but you were at the dentist at about 1 o'clock this afternoon, so I appreciate that you're here at all.
And don't look at me. I'm hideous.
Oh, right. Look slightly chipmunkish, yes. Yes, that's okay. That's okay. So, yeah, Sat is a substance abuse counselor in the Mesa area, and we have had quite the conversations over the years. I have been doing substance abuse therapy over the last couple of years. Never thought I'd go into it because I'm a former addict, and it's been a very interesting journey helping other people cross that bridge, because I do believe that it is a bridge that can be crossed. It is a maintenance program. And I think once people get down to why they are using substances in the first place, it's a good start to starting to heal up for the rest of your life. So I appreciate the work that you do. You've done it for how many years now?
About 40.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. So what's been one of the most interesting parts of your journey as a substance abuse counselor?
The growth that it's produced in me, by, you know, just sitting in those groups and listening to their journey and the difficulty of finding alternatives to dependence. And I tend to talk to my clients usually without entering into the word substance abuse. I usually substitute it for substance dependence, because it puts it into the realm of choosing that over reality and what's going on in your life and the ability to put that into perspective and to operate successfully in it. And I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to do that. It's always confusing, mysterious, and sometimes disappointing. But there are those moments of awareness in certain people that makes it really worthwhile, and you get to see some people really making great strides, and then they're gone.
Yeah, and then you never know what's going to be happening in their lives, and hopefully they do not relapse and end up back in your Yeah, therapeutic lap again, to so to say. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, I know. It is a very interesting journey. I've worked with so many people on this end, and people that if you ran into them on the streets, it wouldn't be the, it's not the typical user look anymore. It's people that have, they're outstanding in their communities. They're civic leaders and high functioning students and all these different arrays. And, you know, the beautiful part I like about it is when their brains get cleared up for at least 2-3 weeks, and then you start seeing the real person beyond what the chemicals have done to them. Hopefully you can catch them at that point where they start waking up. That's a really nice area to see. I get excited when, you know, I'm sitting in group therapy and talking to them about, like, attachment and family issues and, you know, what their family of origin has, you know, come into play or not come into play. Because, I mean, really, some of the people who come to us just end up, you know, peer pressure or whatever, or they're bored. Boredom is always a big trigger. We get bored and it's like, oh, well, hey, this looks good. This looks good to do. Hey, let's smoke some meth. And all of a sudden they're hooked. And a lot of them had this the same scenario. I did it once or twice and I was hooked. That was it. I mean, it's quite amazing. But yeah,
we all want to be happy.
Yeah.
And none of us like to be depressed. You know, depression hurts so badly.
Right.
And this topic is like a symptom of what's going on this little ball of mud that we all live on. Yeah. And, you know, where people are reaching out for that because of the stress and the difficulties in relationships and, you know, make a list of the things that stress you out, and everything, it's huge.
It is.
And it's growing. The list isn't, like, shrinking.
Right, right. And I can understand. I mean, I think a big component of whether, what end you're on for recovery is starting to take the judgment out and starting to understand what is that person going through and getting to that core and loving them no matter what. That's really difficult. But I hear so many stories about the judgments, and I think that's so shaming for so many people. So that's my challenge to a lot of people is, you know, keep your judgment in place. Figure out where you're coming from before you say harmful, you know, potentially disastrous messages to the person that's involved with substances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if you're involved in substance abuse at all, your life is filled with lies.
Yes.
Deception. A cadre of people that are awash in the deceptions, and they're like those people that get killed in a bombing. They're collateral damage, and you know, so recognizing that the collateral damage is back there in a huge amount, and that you created that, and that you made choices along the way about how you were going to deal with your stress. And those collateral damages are like karma.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, karma is the kind of thing that when it happens to you and you have to deal with it in a very courageous and honorable way without bringing harm to anybody, you know, because it's, you did all this stuff and and they're all painful. And if you go in there when somebody reacts to what you have created and you don't do it in a graceful manner, you're just creating more.
Right, exactly. You have to take responsibility for your actions and make amends, as the 12 steps talk about, the fourth step, making amends, making those lists. Who have I harmed? Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, the lying and the cheating and the stealing and, you know, it just, it can go on and on. And we hear the stories, and some of them are incredible. It's like, you know, sometimes I do think, okay, how can you live with yourself after you've done that much? But, you know, then sometimes I see the humanity in them, and they start crying, or, you know, they're just, it can be very, very complex. But it is, you know, I mean, and as we were talking about before, it's just, how do we make sense of what we're dealing with the world right now, right? We were talking about how fast-paced everything is. And there are definitely people that I've kind of lost touch with over the last few years. And then I go through my phone and I'm thinking, you know what? If I called up, would they even know who I am anymore? And that makes me sad, but it gets so busy. So busy. And I have met so many people through all the chapters of my therapy journey over the last 8-9 years and changing my life. And it's, you know, talk about, you know, almost like writing a new book. So how do you deal with all of the life moving too fast sometimes? What's your perspective?
Well, you know, I get myself centered. That's the only thing that works today. Is to, you know, find that center where you feel part of the whole picture instead of this little bitty picture that's running around paying bills. You know, and, you know, struggling and fighting and arguing and and yet here you are on this little ball of mud going through space in the middle of nowhere, and until you can stop the struggle and find your center and make the connection between you and reality, which is you're like this little miracle, self-motivating, self-functioning machine running around on a little ball of mud in space, and see, like, wow, I'm part of that. And until you can do that.
Yeah, that's why one of the things that I always strive for with my clients is finding purpose and meaning and finding what you're passionate about. There's so many people I've talked to with, you know, when I ask them that question, what are you really passionate about? They kind of look at me quizzically like,
what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, but you can see the, you know, the cogs turning in their head. And it's almost like, that's the first time anybody's ever asked me that question. What am I really passionate about? You know? And I say, it may be more than one thing, and it's probably not going to be what somebody told you you should do or you should be. And I always say, stop shooting on yourself. It doesn't do anybody any good, right? And I agree with the centering, you know, doing deep breathing.
They call it Satori. They call it Maha Mudra. They call it, in the ancient scriptures, they call it, Satori is the one that I remember. And it's that point where the yogis in India used to go into caves and meditate trying to achieve that. They talk about Maya, which is the physical world, all our stuff, and how it, and how it's your attachment to that stuff is what keeps you from experiencing that moment of Satori. And I mean, we're all individual little creatures on this planet, but we, each one of us has the capability of experiencing that Satori. And but it takes, it takes like looking at where you are just like fighting to make all of this more, and then boop, there you go.
You can't take it with you. Is what it boils down to. I know.
You don't even go out with your naked body.
That's true. Well, it depends on how you go out, but... But yeah, I mean, it's such a dichotomy, isn't it? I mean, it's the attachment and the non-attachment. It's attachment to things that are important, to people that we love, to people that we make connection with. It's non-attachment to the material object world. But yet we still have to juggle around it. So it's all this very delicate dance that we are all trying to get through every day, you know, dance, right?
What do you think of all the wars?
It's horrible. I tell you, I did a show a few weeks ago about the refugee crisis and the refugees that come here and end up in Skid Row and all the horror that they go through here. You know, it's, you know, one cycle after another, and just doing the research on that, and you know, people being turned away now and sent back. It's heartbreaking. It's, I don't know. I think that was completely disastrous. It's overwhelming.
You've got this huge Western consciousness of trying to maintain this big financial oil conglomerate corporate mishmash out there around the world, and that's what, you know, America is pretty much dedicated to, and Europe and all that. And then you've got another part of the world that is like against that. They want the simple life. They want, you know, and hey, the religious part comes in. You got the Christians and the Muslims, and it's all just everybody fighting against each other. And the one thing we have in common, we have our nose in the middle of our face. Each one of us. You know, like, who's different? Nobody's a monster. It's just our behaviors that become monstrous.
Yeah.
We're just all part of the whole picture. And it takes people at the most simple level and I consider what I'm doing, you know, like talking with people about domestic violence and parenting and substance abuse. I mean, that to me is like at the simple level.
It is. We have to learn how to balance that stuff.
And not, you know, stop placing blame and all those things, and take, you know, raise your hand if you're making an idiot of yourself and
call it out. Take responsibility. Exactly. That's a tall order for some people. It really is. And it's sad. I shouldn't be laughing about it, but, you know, it's, like I said, it's pretty basic. So
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that, and it was because when I was 4 years old, I did that. I'm sorry, but that in front of the judge just doesn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we are with these, I mean, I don't know how it is in the rest of the world right now, because I'm just aware of what's going on here in America and the businesses that are built up surrounding all of our dysfunctions is enormous.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's take a break and we'll come back from that perspective. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Therapy cable is the missing piece in the puzzling question, what is the role of the cyber world in healthcare? Therapy cable has created a marketplace where healthcare finally meets technology in a consumer-friendly way. We use online technology to bring together various entities of healthcare in one central place. It's easy to access from any internet platform. We provide educational videos on topics like acupressure, medicine, psychotherapy, and yoga. You can confidentially use this information in the privacy of your home. You can stay connected to the provider of your choice or even see your provider in person. Get started today at therapycable.com.
And welcome back to Psych One-on-One with Julianne Good and Sat Khalsa from Phoenix, Arizona. We're just kind of having a chit-chat for my last show on We Play Radio. I know. And again, please, if you enjoy listening to the show, please contact me on my Facebook page at Julie-Ann-Good and keep in touch with me. I am trying to find another podcast station to go with and keep this show going and possibly see what else springs up from this. This was a really exciting journey I've had with Jeremy Hansen, the executive producer. We started off in an office space in downtown LA, not too far from here, and we're back in downtown LA, but I've been one of the beginning shows, probably within the first year or so, and I've been with Jeremy ever since. So it's been about 3 years, 2 months, and this all started off as an experiment. And I thought, you know what? I did radio when I was in high school. I had my FCC license back then, and I loved doing it. But I tried to pursue it as a career, but that was a while ago. And it was a little tough in the Midwest to get that going. So when I had the opportunity 25 years later to come back on the air, I was thrilled. And thank you so much, Jeremy, for giving me this opportunity. This has really turned into my passion. There you go, my passion. I love being in front of a microphone. I do this. I do singing with bands and recording. And, you know, I think this is where part of my forte lies. And I hope you can find where your niche is also, because I think it's really important for the purpose in your life that you find the drive to keep going. So before break, we were talking about, you know, certain corporations and getting into, and I really think, you know, the deeper I dive into doing the recovery business, it's really sad to see that a lot of people end up getting caught for drug-related charges or paraphernalia, and all of a sudden they have a record, and it's just the business of that alone is just appalling, keeping people in the system, jails and prisons and recovery and the court system and everything else. I it's just mind-blowing to me. I wish that eventually we get out of that system and we are more working with the person holistically to say, okay, you have a substance dependency, as you said before, dependency, and it's causing you some difficulties and suffering, and it's doing the same thing with your family and friends around you. I want to see it going towards that way, more towards what Europe is doing versus the punishment. And all of a sudden you have this record going with you, and then you have difficulties finding employment and housing, and it is a horrible domino effect. Would you agree?
The prison system loves it.
Yeah.
Now we have private prisons, and you know, it's all a booming business. Our propensity to be human and have foibles, and our propensity to addiction, being, you know, doing something that feels good and that we love over and over again.
Which our brains want. Part of our brains are geared for that. That's that pleasure pathway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but the training that has to begin at a really, really early age is to, you know, be able to instill in the kid the necessity of solving things, because it's all about endorphins and blah blah blah, you know, in your brain and things that you know make you happy. To finding ways of doing that with the children and teaching them how to do that, to excite that with sports, with hobbies, with, you know, close relationships, you know, the things that turn you on, that turn you and me on naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the schools seem to be more directed at teaching them how to financially survive in this economy. And, you know, their foundation needs to be more about what makes you happy, son.
Yeah, and I would say also that a lot of the schools, K through 12, are geared towards, okay, let's teach you this material because you have to pass it, because otherwise we won't get funding and we'll have to close our doors, or we will not have as many, right? I mean, it seems to be more geared towards that.
Yeah. Who provides that funding? Corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want people trained to come up and take on more positions and in corporate America, and exactly right, exactly correct. That's our community here. And you know, you're living nicely and going out to dinner and to a movie and having a good time with your life. And so are we, and we like our life, and sitting out in my garage is a car with oil in it and gas. And where does that come from? You know, this part of accepting where you are and finding that center is seeing that what you have is really incredibly amazing. It's miraculous. You know, I'm looking at my refrigerator and saying, like, I couldn't make that.
Sometimes when I have my moments of I don't have enough, okay, and we all go through that, it's like I don't have enough, then all of a sudden I look and I turn and it's like I do have enough right now. I have it good. You know, this is I'm experiencing a first world problem. Now that usually changes my frame of mind. Okay.
Totally.
It's like stop whining. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thankful. Gratefulness.
What do they call it? The minimalist movement? You know, minimal. You know, working and living your life in a minimal way. Mm-hmm. You know, folding your toilet paper, for God's sake, instead of putting 3 pounds of paper down the toilet. And it's all, well, it all, we're all part of, connected with this whole system. Mm-hmm. And it's the small things that we do in our little place that affects everything. Mm-hmm. Because it all comes from where? Mother Earth. And I don't know about her, but I'd be pretty exhausted with everything that is just like
I think we are stretching things to the limit. In so many respects. You know, and I try to be an optimist for the most part, but an optimistic realist. I guess that's mm-hmm. probably the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. Try to look at all angles of whatever issue is in front of me and try and
appreciate
and also see where mm-hmm. things can be improved or things mm-hmm. need to be talked about or just open the conversation, right? Instead of just closing our eyes and walking away from things.
Well, and taking responsibility for your own individual life. I saw a sign, you know, in a bathroom. What are you doing on this earth, for God's sakes? You know, clean as you go underneath it. You know? And I know.
I need that sign. I need that sign for my son.
And that bathroom was spotless.
That's great.
Get it.
You
know,
get
hey,
it.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. And you know, how we deal with our own stuff, and that's the beginning. And just accept what you got and be appreciative of it and wake up every morning and say, thank you for my breath.
Yes.
And, you know, little things.
I know, and then you don't get sucked into disappointment, right? Right?
You heard me. I said, and now we get to vote.
Oh. Yeah. That's, you know, when we had a political show on here, I was asked to do a psychological rundown of the two candidates, and I told the host at the time, I said, it's probably going to be Trump and Clinton, but then her show went off, and I was going, too bad. That would have been a lot of fun to do the psychological rundown on those two. Oh, you know.
Well, I normally don't ask people. I mean, my clients are constantly trying to get me into these conversations.
Oh.
I just tell them, like, look, we're all here together no matter what. Nobody's going anywhere. So whatever the masses, you know, are, it's a system that we've all, like, said, okay, well, let's do it that way and give it a shot. And, you know, the democracy thingy. And whoever does get in there, we're all going to work as hard as we can to make it work. And so why get off on the personality things? You know, pick the person that you like and support who gets in. You have people over in Europe that are, they're like going against some of our candidates and like in huge negative ways. I mean, they're huge groups of people are fighting and throwing things and burning. And
yeah, I don't like the violence aspect of it. That's for sure. I mean, all of the, when I was in Phoenix, well, and of course, you know, you had heard about it, you know, constantly while Trump was campaigning out there and the riots and everything else and them blocking, what was it, Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard or wherever in Scottsdale and somebody chaining themselves. I mean, radical, just, it's crazy making. I hate, but on the other hand, too, at least people are starting to wake up and watch maybe politics a little bit more and keeping tabs on things. I think in that respect, I think this is going to be a fascinating campaign. It's going to be amazing. You know, it might really start getting people more involved, you know, politically and socially. So that I'm kind of excited about, honestly. Maybe it's kind of hippie like for me, but I'm hoping for the best on this whole thing.
You're a hippie?
No, never, right?
Well, certainly it's not going to be a boring 4 years.
No, it will not be a boring 4 years. And I'm going over to London in September, so it'll be really interesting to hear what they have to say, you know, and when they're in the middle of Brexit The last time I was over there, boy, they love talking politics over there and social. Oh,
yep.
It's amazing. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. So, you know, let's take another break and come back and finish this out and see where this is going. Okay.
Oh, it's going so
The Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at 3 campuses, Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine, Chicago, Illinois, and Washington, D.C., and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
Awesome tune from her latest album. So check her out on iTunes. It's LaurieMorvan. We just saw them a few weeks ago. They were playing locally in Long Beach, and they just rock the house down. They're amazing. They're on tour this summer. So check them out wherever they are. They're definitely worth it. Original blues and, good friends. So, yeah, so we were talking about the state of the world, how very interesting it is right now, and how it's really, really important to keep centered. I agree with Sat. It's just, you know, find out where your peace of mind is. Find out how you can tap into that on a daily basis. When the world gets to be too fast, too much, there's too many negative news stories on, you know, you have to remind yourself there are beautiful things in life. There are fantastic things to do with your own creation. So I recommend going out there and living your best life.
Mm-hmm. Or else.
Or else. Jeez.
Oh. So like, there's a lot of people out there waiting for you to mess up. And there's huge, you know, there are people sending their children to college based on your mess up. And it's a choice of saying, I'm not going to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be that. And being independent, strong, and courageous today is taking care of your family and your loved ones and your community and just doing it, you know, like it really means something, because it really does.
Yes, and then, you know, and also too, when you come to impasses in your life where you're having problems and issues and you don't know where to turn, go to therapy. You know, this go, yeah, well, you know, well, this has been one of my big drives for doing this show, Sot, has been, you know, educating the public and trying to destigmatize going and getting therapy, because it's had such a bad rap for so long that only crazy people go to therapy. You know, when all of us get to points in our life where we need that extra counsel, we need to get, you know, a second opinion, and, you know, is this something that's really big and I have to work through this for a while, or is this something that I'm just blowing up and it feels like a big drama to me right now, but, you know, if I just take a few steps out of this and make different choices, you know, I can create a better life, and I don't have to hold on to these problems for the rest of my life. That's been one of the biggest drives about doing this. Has been, you know, we all get to those points. I have gone through rounds of therapy in and out since I was 8 years old, and I'm thankful for it, because I wouldn't be here without having gone through that process and having professional supportive people to hold my hand until I could go make the next step, you know? So I love being in this field. You know, it is rewarding.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, sister.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have. And you're out there doing it, and you're setting a good example for lots and lots and lots of folks, even though you may not know it, you are.
Thank you.
Don't give up, man. I feel so honored to be on your final show. I can't tell you.
And I'm glad you're here. We've been friends for a long time, and I thank you for your support and your love and your friendship and your humor. Sot and his wife, Maggie, will call me up at 11 o'clock at night, and I will be wiped out from doing therapy. And they'll call me up, and we will be laughing and roaring until 11:30, 12 o'clock, right? I mean, sometimes, and then I can't go to sleep because I'm all worked up from laughing.
I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you so much for your friendship. And
thank you.
I married the best man in the world. You know, I get my counseling, and it really helps me be centered. You know, hug your kids, hug your cat, hug your dog.
Yeah.
Just be nice.
I
know.
was
give the love.
Love.
Oh, I was going to sing. I still might do that within the 10 minutes or so we have left. Yeah, I'm almost getting to the point of being speechless here because my heart's just going all over the place. I mean, it's been some major changes over the last 4 weeks.
Major. How long have you done it now, Julie?
What was that?
How long have you done your show?
3 years and 2 months.
Oh, Lord. Girl.
Yeah, got about close to 150 shows. And by the way, they are going to be staying, as far as I know, on iTunes podcast. So, yeah, so please go over there and check out the shows. They will be there for quite a while. Again, it's all self-help and a lot of wonderful tips to help you and help hopefully spark some imagination of, oh, okay, I've got this issue. I can go on, listen to this certain podcast. And, you know, take that information and test it out in the real world. And, you know, that's, I've always, always loved self-help genre. That's how I got started in psychology when I was 11 years old. I read I'm Okay, You're Okay. Remember that? The classic book. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Transactional analysis.
Oh, yeah.
For an 11-year-old. Yeah. How do you like that? Yeah.
I like print. Pearls too, in and out of the garbage pail.
In and out of the garbage pail.
You remember that? It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much good information out there, right?
It's just a matter of trusting yourself and being fed up with, experiencing dysfunction anywhere in your life and, you know, making a choice. Okay, enough. I'm not going to participate in it anymore. I'm going to change the history of my life and the people around me by allowing love, compassion, and just getting along with each other. Because all you're doing, if you're not doing that, is putting money in envelopes in some little, you know, class that you had to go to because you hit the wall and your neighbors called. And there you are. So please, please, please take care of yourself and let the love inside of you just be your foundation and don't waver because there's a lot of things pulling at you. And you got to stand fast and be firm about who you are.
Yeah.
You're God's little creature, and you're a miracle, everybody. Please.
Yeah, I love that. I agree. You know, I think everybody has a right to be here. Everybody has a gift to show to the world. And sometimes it takes a while to get there. And sometimes, you take a lot of little side trips and you're not quite on that path, and it's okay because sometimes those side paths can have so much more to teach you than to just do the straight and narrow and think that that's the only way. Sometimes you need to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You learn. You learn and appreciate your life. You learn that other people are imperfect. We're all imperfect, and most of us are not normal. So it was like I told my clients today, if I could get the words perfect and normal out of my vocabulary, I would do so because it's just sometimes it's just so illusional of a standard to have to live up to, you know.
Yeah, normal is a setting on your dryer.
Is it? Not on mine.
Or on your washer, one of the two. Exactly. You know, what's normal is just taking what you got and making it work for you.
Yeah, and appreciating your own uniqueness on this planet. Yeah. What do you have to contribute? What, you know, I heard it best from one of my favorite professors from Chicago School of Professional Psychology, Dr. Jennifer DeFeo. She was talking one day, and she was all passionate about what she was talking about as usual. She was a great lecturer. And she said, you know, sometimes it's all about what you leave behind. And I'm working on my legacy right now. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it because I like that. You know, what do I want to leave behind? You know? Some beautiful work of art, whatever it may be in whatever form.
Your beautiful work of art is already walking all around the planet. All anybody who's heard you and heard what you said and felt one moment of inspiration and change and courage, those are your legacy. That's going to go on forever, baby.
Thank you.
Oh, you say stuff that sits in you, and you think about it, and it becomes part of you, and then you talk about to your kids the same kind of good stuff, and you see it working in your life. You have done a lot, Julianne. You have done a lot.
Thank you, Sat. You too.
Yeah.
Yep. Or making the world a better place, one person at a time.
Yeah, well, what else you got to do?
Got all the time in the world, right? Well, yeah, as we're finishing up, do you have any final thoughts? I'm going to, you know, kind of do my goodbyes and thank yous. And yeah, but I thank you so much, Sat, for being on. You're such a joy.
Thank you. Who's the guy that's been doing this with you?
Jeremy Hansen. Yeah.
Is he there?
He is here.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Hey, Sat. How you doing? Thank you. Thanks for being on the last show. Thank you very much, Julianne, for just everything. I mean, you know, your show has always been one of my favorite. And like I told you before, all the things that you talk about seem to relate to things going on in my life at one time or another. So I think that's very special.
I told her that, you know, her legacy is pretty well founded already. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Sat.
Good tribute to you, lady.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see you and hug you the next time.
I know. And come back to Phoenix. But not until it's when it's under 100 degrees.
Okay,
but anyways, yes.
Yeah, we'll see you at Christmas.
yeah, really, I know. So, Sat, thank you so much for being on. I will talk to you soon. Thank you, Maggie. And, I just want to thank my listening audience, wherever you may be in the world. I really so appreciate it. I don't know who you are, but it's been a big, grand mystery. And every time I see the downloads go up, I'm so thankful that I hope I've touched your lives, and I hope I've helped you wherever you may have been. And I want to just run down a list of people that I want to thank here. First of all, Sat Khalsa was my guest for this evening. I want to thank Eleanor Gilbert. She's in media relations at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, who has been funding my show for most of the 3 years and 2 months that I've been on. So thank you so very much for believing in me and my work and giving me a great master's degree. Dion Dante from Media Assistance. He's been a wonderful friend that I was over in London with and also a musician, really intelligent person. Nico Schmier, great musician. He's done my intro and outro music. Lori Morvan, again, she did the break music. Go see her band this summer, okay? Jeff Adamo, photography, longtime friend and musical collaborator. Dr. Esan Garajadagi from Therapy Cable, and Nehru's Clinic. And most of all, I really, really want to thank Jeremy Hansen. You have given me so much opportunity to do this show and to spread this around the world. I don't know where we've gone, but we've gone there together, and I'm really hoping that we can do more things together. So this is really difficult. I would really, really encourage you to keep in touch with me at Julianne Good at Facebook. You can also email me at jgood8@verizon.net. Please keep in touch. I really am determined to get this up and running again. And thank you so much for being there. And I love you. I love Jeremy. Thank you so much. And I'm going to say it one more time. I love you guys so much. Thank you. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Bye now.